John chapter number 14, once you find it, if we can stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I'm thankful for those that are able to join us on live streaming. We are making some adjustments on there, and so there was an issue, I think, the other night with Facebook and YouTube. You can always go to our church website. If Facebook and YouTube go down, go to the church website and scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, and it's streaming right there on our website. So we're working on some of those things also. And so appreciate the patience as some of those things continue to get worked out. Aren't you thankful for technology when it works? John chapter 14, let's begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you," and I like this phrase right here, these five words, "and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." I want to come back to verse number 16, where the Bible says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." I know in my Bible, that name comforter is capitalized. It's a proper name. None other than the Holy Ghost of God, as the Bible teaches us, that he may abide with you forever. And aren't you thankful that we don't have the Holy Ghost as the comforter today and lose him tomorrow? I'm thankful he'll abide with us forever. I'm going to preach on this subject and share a few thoughts this morning on the subject matter of craving for comfort. Craving for comfort. Let's have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you again so much for the Word of God. I'm thankful for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that I am indwelt today with the Holy Spirit of God forever. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, those that may be trying to find comfort with the things of this world, there's voids and there's emptiness in their lives that they will never be comforted with outside of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. Lord, there's even some that are here and they're saved. They're on their way to heaven. They're a child of God. But Lord, they do not have comfort of soul because, Lord, they're in turmoil. They haven't found that comfort in Jesus for their daily walk. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to find comfort in Jesus. Thank you for him now. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Craving for comfort. I guess I could have taken a poll before we had service today, because if I automatically start talking about comfort and start talking about cravings, some people start thinking about what their favorite comfort food is. For some, it might be chili. I'm not saying if it's healthy for you. I'm not going to ask that if you're looking for comfort and you've had a rough day, that I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you take a half gallon of ice cream and go sit down with a blanket in the chair and go through about all of it and then afterwards get mad at yourself. I'm not asking if you're a comfort food and you can say mind your own business as an entire cheese pizza all to yourself. That's Samuel back there. That's his comfort food, cheese pizza. I'm not talking about if it's a bowl of popcorn. My grandfather, all his life, you understand, between going to bed and the nap that you took to get the strength to go to bed, between that every night was a bowl of ice cream. For my father-in-law, we found out towards the end of his life, wondering why his sugar was absolutely through the roof, found out that lately his comfort food was a Klondike bar between two chocolate chip cookies that he made. And that was his comfort food, and they couldn't figure out why his sugar was through the roof. Well, for some, it may be a certain type of food. For some, it might be certain company. For some, it may be a walk in the woods. This is what's comfort for me. For some, it may be a whole bowl of ice cream, whatever it is. I understand. Don't be a glutton. Ask forgiveness, or better yet, just don't do it in the first place. We go through these things. Aren't you thankful? You know something, I found out this when I want to eat a bowl of ice cream, and I do eat some ice cream. You know, a week later, I'm still sitting back thinking, boy, I wish I had more ice cream, and it's never eternally satisfying. You ever found out that anything we have here in this life, whether it be temporal and it's just going to disappear and it's just going to be gone? Satisfaction. But yet comfort, something that is going to soothe the heart, the mind, and the soul. For some, their comfort is turning on some classical music and having a cup of tea. And that's relaxing, that brings them comfort. There's times, and I'll just be transparent with you, sometimes on a Sunday when I get towards 5 or 6 o'clock, my comfort is sitting in my recliner, not on my phone, not texting, with a nice cup of gourmet coffee that tastes wonderful, usually from Colombia. We have different things that we enjoy to be able to relax and to be able to get comfort from. We look throughout the scriptures. The context of this passage of scripture is Jesus has just talked to his disciples and informed them that back in chapter 13, that actually he's going and he's going to sacrifice himself and he's going to die on the cross. And then at the end of chapter 13, he's actually telling them, you're not going to be able to follow me there. Peter steps up and says, yes, I'm going to follow you till death, and on. And Peter says, Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me. They give him this message. Can you imagine how that would rattle someone that has been following you for the past three and a half years of now all of a sudden their spiritual leader, their friend, the one that they're around is now going to be gone. He's saying he's going to be crucified here in a matter of a short time. That's why Jesus started out in chapter 14 and verse number 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He comes down, he gives us this great discourse on heaven, and he's going to prepare a place, and then he reminds them in verse number 6 that he is the only way, he is the truth, he is the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's great comfort in knowing today that I have believed the way that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in order to get to heaven. There's great comfort in that. As I come down through here, Jesus begins telling them that he is going to be departing. In other passages of scripture here, shortly after, he actually tells them that it is expedient for him to go away. Now, you know how it is when you know someone is preparing to leave for a long period of time, how that you get unsettled in your heart and in your spirit. But Jesus reminds us down here in verse number 16, because he knew the comfort that he personally brought to the disciples that were traveling and walking and ministering with him. And may I remind us of this, that we would probably feel great comfort too if we were walking side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. One person and one writer put it this way. He said, if I had the Lord Jesus Christ at my side, he said, I would be able to take on anything that this world throws at me head on. If I had Jesus by my side. And then he paused for a moment and he said, but I'm reminded that I don't just have Jesus by my side, but according to the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. So why not approach the things of this life with the exact same boldness that we would if Jesus was physically beside us? craving for comfort. And may I say, there's probably some that are here, whether you're a child of God and you know that you are, or if you're just living life and you're trying to find your comfort in everything that there is under the sun. Listen, the richest man, one of the richest men that ever lived, King Solomon, eventually wrote that book, Song of Solomon, by the end, Ecclesiastes. And he wrote that, and listen, by the end of it, he said, I want you to know I've experienced everything. I've had everything. I've tried everything. Riches, wealth, land, golds. And it's all vanity. It's all emptiness, and it's not going to be satisfying. It is not fulfilling. It does not bring you eternal comfort. And you may be that way here today. Your life may be in turmoil. You may not be in turmoil, and you may be saying, but I'm okay. I'm just going through life. I'm fine. Hey, I'm talking about eternal comfort this morning. I'm talking about something you may not have experienced yet, but boy, what a peace. And we'll get to that here in just a few moments. I want to share just a few thoughts with us. First of all, I want you to see who the Bible tells us here is the person of comfort. Can I say that I enjoy, and I was thinking about it this week, and I think my wife will enjoy hearing this. If not, we maybe have a bigger problem than what I thought. I'm just kidding. I started thinking back to the years that I've been by my wife's side and my wife has been by my side. I mean, after all, we started sitting together. I was 14, she was 13, and she hasn't aged whatsoever. And all the way through high school, all the way through college, and then ministry, we've just been together. And I thought, you know how comforting it is? And you understand this. You've got a spouse and you've been together for years. It's just a blessing there. It just brings comfort knowing that someone is there. But may I say this, when it comes to eternal comfort, my spouse is not one that I can turn to and is going to give me eternal comfort. Not one that when there's turmoil in my soul and I may be praying through some things and dealing with some things, it's not my spouse that can take care of that type of comfort. But when we come here to the scriptures, let me remind us in verse number 16, the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking now, he said, I'll pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. And let me remind us that word another, that means of the same type. Now, the same way that there was great comfort for these disciples as they walked and talked and ministered with the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be departing. You mean the comfort that we've had and the camaraderie that we've had and the ministering together, you're leaving? He says, yes, but I want you to know that I'm praying the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. And he tells us down through here in verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth. I want you to see the exclusiveness and how wonderful this Spirit of truth is. Listen, he is exclusive too. It says, whom the world cannot receive. Do you understand that the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, it is not for those who are not a child of God. It is for those of us that are saved. It's for those of us that have trusted Christ as our personal Savior. You say, oh no, I'm not saved, but I've got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. I'm sorry, honey. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the world cannot receive him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I thought, what a blessing. Do you understand? We believe in the Trinity, the Godhead, as the Bible says it, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that the children of God are so important to God that he chose to put one third of the Trinity living inside of us? I mean, of all the things that God could have done for us, he's put one third of the Trinity living inside of us, dwelling in us. You say, why is that? The first words that we have to be able to describe who this person is none other than the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that dwells inside of us. Do you know why he's called that starting right off? Because God knew we were going to need him. And God knew not just needing him, but needing what he offered to us. I don't know about you, but there's been times, no matter what any person said whatsoever, it did not bring comfort. How many have had some well-intentioned people come up and just try? They're doing their best, and honestly, they're pure intentions. They're trying to quote scripture. They're trying to say the right words, but no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, it does not soothe the turmoil of the heart. May I say that's where the Holy Ghost of God specializes? The person, now listen, he's not just an influence. He's not just a force. He's not just some abstract power that's out there. The Bible speaks that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be quenched. We can affect our relationship with him. But I'm so thankful that when the relationship is right, boy, there's a comfort, and he's comforting our hearts. Capital C, Comforter. Capital C. You say, Pastor, I sure need that. No, it's not a matter of needing that. You need him. Not some abstract force. You need the person of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. I also say this, the person of comfort is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ also. That's why he said here, he said, I will send you another Comforter. In other words, it's not that the Holy Spirit is the only one, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, boy, I sure enjoy praying and spending some time with the Lord. And I don't know about you, but after I get done, there's usually more comfort of heart after I've spent some time with my Savior. You know why? Because there's things that I can say to my Savior that I may not be saying to anybody else. There may be things that I'm pouring out to him and I'm saying, Lord, I really messed this one up here. I wouldn't dare admit that to everybody else, but I'm pouring it out to the Lord and saying, God, here's the condition of my heart right now. God, the turmoil that's going on, and pouring it out to Jesus. And I'll say this, boy, he's such a wonderful comforter. But then I want you to see this. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Boy, this is wonderful. 2 Corinthians 1. It's right after 1 Corinthians. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse number 3. Here's what Paul said to the church there. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And boy, just reading down through this, do you understand in these two verses? Look at the end of verse 3, underline it if you need to, the God of all comfort, underline the word comfort. Verse number 4, who comforteth us, underline the word comforteth. The second line there in verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them. The last phrase, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. What do you think the purpose is of these couple verses that he's trying to get across to us? You say, well, preacher, that Bible's just too hard to understand for me. Let me summarize it for us. We have a God of comfort. And God comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort we've been comforted with. Need me to say that again? We serve a God of comfort who comforts us so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we've been comforted with. Did I get it right? Play it back to me in slow motion. Comfort. That's the God that we serve. Listen, you may be trying everything and going to every person on the face of this earth, and you may be trying everything that this world has to offer. And you're saying, Pastor, there's no comfort. There's nothing in my life. It's just constant turmoil. That's because you haven't gone to the right place yet. Haven't gone to the right person. The person of comfort, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm thankful for comfort. You know something? God will do more for you living in your life than that bowl of comfort ice cream that you'll ever have to get. That comfort pizza that you feel horrible because you just ate 4,000 calories because you were having a pity party. I just needed some comfort. Well, we know who to go to for comfort, but where do we go for comfort? You say, well, you just told us we go to Jesus. Well, turn back with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15. Look what it says. We'll start reading in verse number 1. It's right before 1 Corinthians, if you were just there. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, backing up to Romans. Romans chapter 15. We then, verse 1, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Look at this last phrase, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You say, where'd that comfort come from? Came from the scriptures. You know what I want to tell some people sometime when they come and say, Pastor, I just need some comfort. Did you read your Bible this morning? You say, I've read some things in there. It might get you scared about a 90-year-old lady getting pregnant. Start reading that part. It might get you scared about a serpent being cast down and having to grab the end of it. No, okay, don't get scared about those things. Get over into some Psalms and Proverbs if you need some comfort. Get on over into the book of John, John the Beloved, and start reading about eternal life and everlasting life and John 14 where he's gone to prepare a place for us. Guess where the number one place is that you can go for comfort? You say, well, it ought to be the pastor. It ought to be the church. You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to try to point you to the scriptures. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures. You say, oh no, that's just our way to salvation. No, may I say this? This book that you hold in your hand is a whole lot more than that. How many can testify this morning that you needed some comfort at one time in your life and you opened up the Bible and God gave you exactly what you needed? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that great how the Bible works like that? I'm not going to ask how many were worked up over the election about 4 months ago. You know what was wonderful? There were people giving scripture verses through that saying, hey, I don't like a bit of it. I know it may not be all, and listen, I got comfort through the scriptures. You say, how can you have comfort through all of this? Hey, at least if you have to go to Revelation 20. At least go through all of that. Where, listen, it's over with. We're with Jesus for all of eternity. At least if we get to the end of the book. I saw a clip this week. It might have made some of you nervous if you would have watched the same preaching clip that I watched. That the preacher was out in front here. Not at our church. out in front here just saying, hey, it's going to be okay. And he's quoting the end of the book. He's quoting that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming back. He's read the back of the book. It's all going to be okay. You say, Pastor, how can you be steady and have comfort through all this? We just got to go to the scriptures and remind us who's in control. And God is still on the throne, by the way. And you say, who's the person that I can go to? Oh, I've got this go-to person that if I need comfort, it better be the Holy Spirit of God. You say, oh, I go to this and it takes the edge off. I go to this and it takes the edge off. Get back to that Bible. Those that are saying, hey, I need this addiction right here to be able to fulfill that void. Listen, I need this addiction right here to fill that void. And there's not just a person I can go to, but there's a place I can go to. That we, through faith and comfort of the scriptures. Well, I'm so thankful I can go read the Bible and God gives me exactly what I need. You say, oh, but I've read the Bible and I read that time and time and time again. Hey, listen, sometimes you got to keep reading. You got to keep reading. It might just be the next verse that you just quit on. It might be the next chapter. And listen, some have said, well, I've got my checklist and I need to make it through and I'm reading as fast as I can. I'm going to read the whole Bible in a month, 40 chapters a day. You can read the whole Bible in a month and I'm going to get through it. Hey, sometimes it's not 40 chapters. Sometimes it might be four verses. Boy, that God just moves on in there and says, boy, that's exactly what I needed today. Now, just don't excuse that for getting the verse of the day to pop up and say, well, you said it'd just be a little bit. Verse of the day, someone else is popping it up for us. We don't even have to put no effort or time into it. It just pops up. We skim it in between text messages. No, I'm talking about getting comfort of heart, being able to go to the scriptures. You say, Pastor, you sure try to make a big deal out of the Bible. You know why? Can I just pause right here, run a little rabbit trail? My whole life is based on that book. And not just this life, eternity is based on what I know out of this book right here. Yes, I put a lot of stock in this book. Do you realize I didn't even move to Cleveland, Tennessee without God speaking to my heart out of that book? You say, well, Cleveland, Tennessee's not in the Bible. No, it's not. And the more I read, the more I realize it's not in there. I'm just kidding. Hey, I could take you right now to the church. I was preaching in a prison, sleeping in a Sunday school room down in Smyrna, Delaware. And that morning I was in my Bible. God started speaking to my heart and giving me scripture. You know something? I went back and told Crystal. I said, I believe God wants us to move. You know, there was another time. You say you make a big deal out of it. I wouldn't be in Concord, New Hampshire if it wasn't for that book. God speaking to the heart saying, hey, here's what I want. You know what that does for me? Now, as God is my witness, and we'll see about tomorrow morning, I have not woken up on one Monday morning yet and said, I'm done. I haven't. I haven't got done a Sunday, woke up on Monday morning and said, I'm throwing in the towel. Haven't said that. Now listen, tomorrow morning, you never know. Depends on how that chili is downstairs. Haven't said that, but you never know what's going to happen in the future. But I will tell you this, you know what's comfort to me? It's not that people come back and say, hey, glad you're here. It's that I go back to this book right here and God says, this is where I told you to be. Boy, I can go back to the Bible and God's giving me scripture. Listen, the person is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of me saying, hey, it's going to be all right. And you know what the Holy Spirit of God uses to bring that comfort? The Bible. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. You say, my life is in turmoil. Well, let me come back and show you the peace of the comfort. The peace of the comfort. Turn back with me to John chapter 14. John chapter number 14, where we started. He says down in verse number 26, look at this. But the Comforter, capital C again, by the way. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, just in case there's any question on who he is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I read down through there just to be able to remind ourselves about the peace that comes from the Comforter through the comfort to our hearts. A peace that passeth all understanding, we're reminded of, and I could add another P word here and go over to the prayer of comfort over in Philippians chapter number 4 that was supposed to be in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let our request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, I know about Jesus, but I've never had that comfort of heart. I've never had that. My life is in turmoil. You're looking every direction. It doesn't seem like there's peace in the marriage. It doesn't seem like there's peace in the family. And how many, and you've heard me say this before, the two things that my dad would always ask for Christmas, peace and quiet. How many desire for a peaceful home? You just don't want the arguing and fighting. And I'm not talking about a quiet home. You can have peace. And there's certain peace about, a baby playing. There's certain peace about kids playing with their toys. And there's certain peace about, cooking being done in the kitchen and fellowship. I'm not talking about just quietness. I'm going to say this, that peace, it can be with a bunch of things going on, but it's just thankful for what God's done. See, sometimes there's not peace in the home. There's not peace in the marriage. There's not peace with the children. It's constant fighting. It's constant hostility. You know why? Because I don't believe that Jesus or the Word of God is actually the center point of that life or of that family. Try making Jesus the center point. Try making Jesus and His Word. Here's what I told, and I can't remember which one I told, that they were saying, Pastor, we're just always arguing, husband and wife, and if I could remember, I wouldn't give you their names, by the way. Who was it? Pick a couple. Probably me, counseling myself. We're just constantly arguing and fighting and this is going on and this. I said, when you start to hear that coming and you feel that's coming up, I said, why don't you stop right there and say, hey, can we pray on this before it goes any further? I had a situation last night. I won't get into all of it right now. There was seemed like a little bit of contention was getting ready to get started. And a man that was over there watching the contention that was getting ready to get started, he stopped everybody and he said, hey, just a second before we go any further. He said, Pastor, do you mind leading us in a word of prayer right now? I said, I'd love to. Stepped forward, had a word of prayer. I don't know how many came through the next two and a half hours. Said, Pastor, I sure appreciated that prayer. I sure appreciated that, made a difference. You know why that is? See, we don't have the peace from the comfort because we don't allow Jesus and the Scriptures to be the center point of our lives. the center point of your home. Husbands, it's our responsibility. Keep Jesus as the center point. It's our responsibility to be praying, husbands and wives together. What about when's the last time the family prayed together? Hey, if it's turmoil in the house and the kids are disobeying, they're going every different direction, why not get them all together? And instead of yelling the whole time, why not say, hey, why don't we take a minute, let's spend some time in prayer? Boy, it's amazing what a calmness may come over the house. What a calmness. Try it, husband and wife, I dare you. I dare you inside that house to be praying with and for each other. It'll do wonders. You say, Pastor, there's just no comfort in my house. I don't even want to be there. Well, that's a sad place to be. But we've been given the person of comfort. He dwells in us. We've been given the place of comfort. We can just go to the scriptures and see what the Lord says to us. We can have that peace from the comfort through the prayer of comfort. God's made it all available to us. Now, let me ask you this. If you have no comfort in your life today, whose fault is it? If there's no peace from the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God, whose fault is it? Well, I'm just tired of everything being a fight. That's not God's fault, by the way. He's given us everything. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, and listen, you're not saved, if I were to ask you this question, if you were to die right now, do you have comfort and peace in your heart? You spend eternity with Jesus. You know something? If that comfort is not 100% assurance, yes. May I say this? Boy, today's a wonderful day to be able to get that settled. You say, how can you know that? I just go to the scriptures. This is what tells us about comfort. And we'd love to be able to show you the same scriptures and say, here's what Jesus did for me, and he'll do it for you. Aren't you thankful Jesus does that? Well, I'm so thankful. How many know that there's a comfort that comes with Jesus that you can't get anywhere else? How many had turmoil in their lives for years? And then you got Jesus. And I'm not saying that all the trials are gone. Listen, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of God through that conflict. That's what comfort is. I just know it's going to be okay. You say, how do you know that? Why do you think we sang that song? The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of me today. As a child of God, I've got comfort. He does things that your favorite food cannot do. Bring comfort. Give peace. You say, I got my favorite blanket. Some even have a comfy. Overgrown sweatshirt hoodie is what it is. I've got my comfy. You know something? Can I just encourage you? You need comfort. Why don't you snuggle up next to Jesus with his word? And why don't you say, Lord, I sure need some comfort today. Would you give it to me? Because you know something? I believe he will if we go to him for it. I use that word craving. Craving for comfort. And the world is constantly looking for comfort. They're craving it. Well, guess who has the answer? We do. And it's none other than Jesus. You're craving comfort? Get to the Word. And I want to be to that point. I'm just being transparent. I want to be at that point constantly that I just need the comfort of the Lord. I just need his presence in my life. I just want it. Are you craving comfort today? It's only found in Jesus. It's only found in the scriptures. But he sure can bring us peace.